This is where we practice being vulnerable and brave. This is where we're reminded we're the beloved children of God. This is where we say, I'm sorry, and begin again in love. This is where we work for justice and imagine a world made whole. This is where a new story is born as we weave it with our lives. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in this community and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front. We've got lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. A few important announcements. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday. We invite those on site to bring a photo or memento of someone who has died that you might be thinking of that morning. Folks at home, we invite you also to have handy a photo or memento of someone you will be remembering that morning. And next Sunday at 7 o'clock will be our pub theology, usually on a Wednesday, but we're gonna have it on Sunday instead at 7 o'clock here, and it will be an All Saints pub theology as well. Today, after worship, we have our first Building Ambassador training. This is Facilities 101. It's training training is, you know, do not be nervous, to introduce, for folks who would like to help introduce folks who are doing a community program here to our facilities or support people who are doing a community program here. This is when you finally learn where the light switches are in this building. It is a scavenger hunt. So Wayne, our facilities wizard, is going to show folks how to actually turn lights on and off in the building. Thank you, Wayne, for doing that today. And we are heading into our generosity season, which means our generosity team is going to be handing out sustainer packets after worship today for those who are on site. So folks in the sanctuary, don't be surprised when members of our generosity team are catching you after worship, and the rest will go in the mail this week. I'm not going to talk about that, but you can see the slide. And there's lots of announcements about other things in the bulletin. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, you'll notice there are two candles before us. The second is for Pam Dotter. In the next week or two, Pam will be moving to her new home in New Hampshire. It is going to be a wonderful move, full of community and opportunity. We will miss her deeply, and we will find ways to stay in touch. We send her with a Christ candle, a light that has burned in this community of faith that will go with her to warm her new home. We also send her with a prayer shawl, the same color as our carpet, to warm her shoulders. After the postlude today, those who are on site, if you are able to remain for a few minutes, we're going to also offer a laying on of hands for prayer for Pam right down here, if you'd like to stay. And so we light this candle for Pam and send it with her. This is not necessarily her last Sunday with us, but we're making sure we get this candle to her. And now I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Bill. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Your story is welcome here." Some stories are silenced. Your story is welcome here. Some stories are stolen. Your story is welcome here. Some stories are dangerous. Your story is welcome here. One God calls us to make room for each other's stories. So, your story is welcome here. Amen. Our opening hymn is a beautiful Welsh hymn, number 102, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." You're invited to rise in body or spirit. Please be seated. Our centering prayer begins with a little bit of quiet. Take a minute to breathe and sense those around you, right in the room for those of you in the sanctuary, or in your house or neighborhood for those at home. Weaving God, bring us together. Interlace our rich variety into a web of texture and color, not too tight, but with room for movement. Entwine us into a net to catch those who are falling. Fill every strand with your presence so we know we are one with you. Remind us that every story matters in this tapestry of love, as we pray these words that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For generations, people have gathered in this sanctuary, in this room, and in our homes. We are part of a line that will continue long after we are gone. May we feel those who have gone before us and those who will come after us as we turn to those who are with us and greet them with a sign of peace. Then we will join together in our song of celebration. God's peace be with you and also with you.
Thank you.
Did I turn your mic on? I can't remember now if I turned it on. I did.
Thank you, Troy.
Okay, good. All right. This fall, our worship services are focusing on the story of the biggest hero in the Hebrew Bible, who is? Very good, Moses. The Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt for decades, suffering under the Pharaoh, the king. God saw their suffering and sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell the king to let God's people go. When Pharaoh said no, God sent terrible plagues until Pharaoh was so devastated, he ordered the Israelites to leave Egypt. Moses led the people out of Egypt in a rush. They could not believe it. They were free. But God wanted to get them far from Egypt as fast as possible, so led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of cloud by night. God had a feeling Pharaoh might change his mind. Our scripture reading this morning tells what happens next with excerpts from the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus.
When the king of Egypt was told that the Hebrew people had fled, the hearts of Pharaoh and his officials were changed toward the people, and they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?"
Very short-term memory, ancient Egyptians. A few verses ago, they actually ordered the Israelites to leave. Now they want their enslaved laborers back.
So Pharaoh had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 elite chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites, who were going out boldly. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them.
The Israelites have been wondering if freedom was too good to be true, stealing glimpses over their shoulders, relieved each time there were no chariots on the horizon. But now the sky is thick with dust from the horses' hooves.
In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?"
Okay, so scripture says they cried out to the Lord, but notice it is Moses that they are giving a hard time, with sarcasm, too. What, were there no graves in Egypt, right? But this is familiar, isn't it? When we are scared, we want someone to blame. Sometimes we spend more energy scapegoating than we do solving. But hang on, the Israelites are still yelling at Moses.
"What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness."
Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. Did you hear that? That's all the people can think about. That's the system they are comfortable with. Egypt was hard, but at least it was familiar. I wonder how you would respond if you were Moses.
But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still."
Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see. God will fight for you. Yeah, God. Remember God?
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward."
Okay, so poor Moses. Israelites yelling at him on one side, God on the other. Commentators say God was yelling over Moses' head to the Israelites, like some passive-aggressive divine communication. Okay, hang on. God has more instructions for Moses.
"But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground.
So that staff has been helping Moses with miracles since it turned into a snake near the burning bush when God first called Moses. Hopefully it still works.
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided.
Just like in the story of creation.
The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left.
The people crossed through the Red Sea together and stepped into the wilderness. Do you think they stopped yelling at Moses?
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. We are now going to get ready to welcome new members into FCC Natick. Yeah. Perfect. We have to leave them lots of room. Today, we welcome into the widening circle of this historic church a group of friends who desire to unite with us in spiritual fellowship. In becoming members of this congregation, they will share in the rights and responsibilities of this community. Their voices will be listened to, their hands will be put to work, their hearts will be joined with ours.
Each person who elects to join this congregation does so for different reasons and encounters different blessings along the way. We may travel different paths, but here we decide to be companions for each other on those paths. Membership here is for those who believe that the spiritual quest is one that calls for and brings aliveness, requiring nurture, loving care, and support from the community of faith.
It is my joy to call forward these people who have decided to join us in covenant: Carrie and Doug W., Tiffany and Andrew W., Karen T., Karen and Art P., Stephanie B.
Friends, we celebrate with you the meaning of this commitment which you now make. There is beauty when people come together to walk in one company. We are united here by the bonds of the Spirit which earlier reached out to embrace others and which now draw you in. You embark on a process of giving and receiving, of discovering and practicing life's meaning. Therefore, let us seal your act by covenanting together.
Is this a place and a people with whom you will seek to make sense of the issues of your life, your faith, your dreams, of who you are and of who God is calling you to be? If so, please say, it is.
Is it your wish to make this a place where you listen for the good news of God's love and grow in your relationship with the holy, learn from and act upon the lessons and way of Jesus, and where you are called to a life of ministry and justice in community with these people and those to come? If so, please say it is.
Will you join us as a community of faith as we seek to follow God's direction in our midst, endeavoring to express the love and welcome of Christ? And will you welcome and respect each person's journey of faith, trusting that our differences are a blessing? If so, please say, I will, with God's help.
Will you participate in the life and mission of this diverse and inclusive community of God's people, praying and working with us in ministry together? Will you share regularly with us in the worship of God and financial support of our ministries? Will you offer your talents to our work as the Spirit leads us to serve the community and the world? If so, Please say, I will, with God's help.
Here's what we really want to know. Will you wrestle with us? Will you forgive us? Will you bring us casseroles when we are sick and celebrate our every joy? If so, please say, I will, with God's help.
Will the congregation, both on site and online, please stand as you are able and find your responses in the bulletin and on the screen. Will you, the congregation, welcome these friends into the life of First Congregational Church of Natick? Let us speak our promise to do so with one voice.
We welcome you with joy into the membership of this congregation. We embrace your gifts, your needs, your dreams. We know your presence and participation will change the shape of this body and help it grow in new ways. We will support you in your journeys, affirm you in your ministries, and surround you with our compassion and care. We pray that all of us, united in faith and community, may grow in our knowledge of God and our love for one another.
You may be seated.
Let us join our hearts and our raised hands together to bless these newest members. O God of hospitality, we praise you for the opportunity to welcome new members among us today. We thank you for their life stories, their faith journeys, their diversity of gifts. May we who have been here a while be zealous in our willingness to listen and to learn. Make us open to revised visions and new perspectives. Help us to provide a nurturing environment for these new friends as we invite them into our church and into our lives. Mm. Enable us to take time for one another as we establish a shared faith and a common history. Bless us all, O God, as we worship together and seek to be your hands in a needy world. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, newest members of FCC Natick. As our new members return to their seats, kids are invited to head to Sunday school.
The ancient rabbis tell a story that gives a little more detail about the parting of the Red Sea. They say the waters didn't separate until one man, Nahshon, waded all the way in up to his nose, when one more step would have put his nose underwater, the sea split in two. I like Nahshon's story with its call to courage, the reminder that often somebody has to go first. There are, of course, so many ways to look at this passage from Exodus. Just a reminder, we're not worried about this being a true story, something we could record on our phones. We see it as a truth story, helping us to reflect on and wrestle with God and humans and meaning and community and power and grief and love. So as much as I like the story of Nashan's nose, this week I came up with a different version. So there was one person, maybe Nashan, wading into the sea, maybe hoping it would split. But the waves kept going. Maybe they even felt a little higher. Another person stepped in, maybe just so the first person wouldn't feel so alone, but that didn't change anything. Then their best friend stepped in. They didn't want to be left behind. And did it seem like the waves calmed a little bit, or was that just wishful thinking? As if an experiment, another person stepped in, and then another, without knowing if they were stepping toward death or hope. One refugee after another stepped into the water. No boat, no life jacket, no ability to swim, no promise that everything would be okay. Until at some point, some number, some percent, some representation, one more person stepped into the water and the sea divided in two. On this day, when we received new members, I liked the idea of it not being one person's courage that makes the miracle happen, but all of us together, never knowing how many of us is gonna be enough to get us all to the promised land. But back at the edge of Egypt, the sea was flowing to make those walls of water rise up on the left and the right. Because this is a truth story, not a true story, after the waters divided, stretching out before the people was the bottom of the sea. And it was sprinkled with sea glass, shining in the sun that was hitting it for the first time. And before you get out your phone, yes, glass did exist during the time frame that Moses would have lived if we tried to turn the Bible into a timeline. Maybe there were a bunch of boats carrying glassware from one side of the Red Sea to the other when a storm hit, and now it's all turned to sea glass at the bottom, although it probably wasn't very colorful, but still. Lane. The Israelites, mere moments ago, lived lives of brick and straw. There was all too little beauty. And now they stepped into freedom down a hallway of water on a path of glass. Together. The Israelites spent hundreds of years with no say over their time, their bodies, their families. There had been nothing that was theirs. And now their hands were free to hold each other's. And a little piece of glass. So, like any human being ever, seeing something shiny on the ground, each stopped to choose a piece of glass. And then they had to keep moving across the bottom of the sea. Three people near the front of the crowd found they had all chosen sea glass for the same reason: to remember what Moses had told them right before they stepped into the sea. The words Moses spoke when the people had only enemy chariots behind them and a vast sea in front of them. It's okay that you don't remember what Bill said this morning. You weren't holding a piece of sea glass. It's okay. But they picked up the sea glass so they would remember. The first one said, "We can't ever forget how Moses said, 'Do not be afraid.' That's what gave me the strength to step into the water. Probably none of us would have moved if he hadn't said that. And we'd be on our way back to Egypt right now because the chariots would have captured us. And it's exactly what this sea glass is going to help us remember in the days ahead." "No," the second interrupted, "that's not what he said. Moses told us, stand firm, because we were all arguing and pointing fingers and forgetting about what really mattered. That's what he said, and that's what this sea glass is going to help us remember in the days ahead." Wait, the third person said, I don't remember hearing that at all. I just heard him tell us to see. Moses wanted us to see God, to see what God was doing, to see how God was present at the water's edge. We were all so focused on Egypt. We've always been so focused on Egypt. We didn't even see God. We were going to need to see God then, and we're going to need to see God in the days ahead, and the sea glass will help us remember to do that. If you look back at the scripture reading, Moses said all those things. Moses said, do not be afraid, stand firm, and see. But each person had only caught a piece of what Moses said, a beautiful piece, like a piece of glass on a beach, a sufficient piece to get each of them further along on the journey, but only a piece. In the same way that sea glass on a beach is just part of the glass or the plate or the bottle that it came from. Together, the pieces hold Moses' whole message. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. See God. The message that the people would need for the journey ahead. But they were going to have to stay together if they were going to hold on to the whole message. We may not be in the middle of crossing the Red Sea with chariots behind us and a wilderness ahead. But every life goes through wilderness times. And black SUVs are in too many of our neighborhoods. Like my story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, I think every one of us has a piece of the message we need right now. Each one of us has a little bit of the holy wisdom that will guide us through these times. Each one of us has a little bit of the divine inspiration that will help us face the vehicles of empire. Each one of us has a bit of the calming spirit that will remind us not to be afraid, but to stand firm and see God here with us. The water may be cold and deep, but we will brave the waves together, and God will be there with us as the sea begins to part. Amen. As a faith community, we know that when we come together and share our joys and concerns, we are able to connect our hearts with God's presence. So that is why we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Sarah Beth. You can't have a 22-year-old. Let me do one joy at a time. We celebrate that Sarah Beth's baby boy Miles turned 22, and even better, that he contacted his parents and they had FaceTime with him. We celebrate that, Sarah Beth. No, no, you don't mean your oldest. You mean your best and favorite. I'm not going to say that on TV. We are so glad that Sarah Beth has some BFFs with her this morning in church, and that you have been relatively well-behaved, the three of you. That's pretty good. Okay, so Sarah Beth is buying everybody mimosas at brunch in celebration of her friends being here today. Thank you, Sarah Beth. Declan. Declan's birthday is next week, and as I remember from last week, we're all going to the party, right? We are so glad to be celebrating you, Declan. June, do you have any joys up there? Lane, you have a joy? Lane has two joys. Wait. Say that again. You mean BCE? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, Lane is fact, for those of you at home, Lane has first of all fact-checked me and found out that I was right. Second of all, Lane is lying in his second joy. So unfortunately, Scott Russell, the quote from today is not from a former parishioner of FCC Natick, but a writer. But nonetheless, we celebrate Scott Russell. Yeah. Jeff. One of our joys is Robin putting together the trunk or treat yesterday with her typical organization and flair. Jeff is lifting up on Robin's behalf the joy of seeing the community, like the whole community, like every child in Natick coming through the FCC Natick parking lot yesterday and leaving with a sugar high. It was awesome. Exactly. Carolyn. Carolyn is lifting up the Open Studios event in Natick, including the vestry of FCC Natick being a locale last weekend, which was joyful. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Jeanette. Jeanette is lifting up a saint of this church who has now gone to be with the saints. I'm going to try Sarkis Sarkisian, Armenian, who went on to help found the Armenian church in Framingham. And Jeanette is lifting up the impact that family had on this church. And we are grateful for all the impressions left behind. Thanks, Jeanette. Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth is lifting up those impacted by the hurricane, and so she's got particular folks, Peter's family, and others who are specifically impacted by that, and so we hold them in our prayers as representatives of many who will be impacted by it. Thank you, Sarah Beth. Art. Art, what's your brother's name? Jack. We hold in our prayers Art's brother Jack, who is in the hospital right now with both COVID and pneumonia. He's on antibiotics, seems to be doing well, will hopefully be heading back to the facility that he lives in that had the outbreak of COVID to start with, hopefully doing much better soon. Thanks, Art. Jeanette. You were in What is that country right now? Argentina. Jeanette's 94-year-old Argentinian host mom is on hospice, ready to go from this life to the next. And so Jeanette is celebrating a life well lived and holding her as she gets ready to transition from this life to the next. Thanks, Jeanette. Sandy. I'm going to cover SNAP. I promise. You got it. I'm not going to cover it in the prayer. I'm going to cover it at length in a minute. No worries. You got it. Beth. Beth is lifting up the death of her friend Elizabeth, who died in her 90s, particularly the ways in which she just impacted so many lives. Thanks, Beth. I feel like I missed one. Stephanie? We are holding Stephanie's daughter, Serafina, in our prayers as she has gone into residential treatment this past week to hopefully get some good, strong mental health help. So we're holding Serafina in our prayers, but also Stephanie in hope that Serafina is able to come back soon and come back home soon and be doing better. But we know that this is a hard road, both for mom and daughter. So we are holding both of you in our prayers. June, I have one more concern. Do you have any? You don't have any? Okay. We are holding in our prayers Lane and Kirsten's neighbor, Edna. Edna's 94 years old. She lives with her daughter, Sharon. She fell outside and broke her hip. She is having surgery this morning. And Edna is a staple in that neighborhood. She is outside all the time keeping track of everything that's happening in the neighborhood. So this is a major impact. So our prayers are for Edna for healing quickly. Did I miss anything? Bringing all of this together in prayer, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our pastoral prayer this morning is by Lynn Cox. Let us pray. Spirit of life, who draws us together in a web of holy relationships, make your presence known with us and in us and among us. Remind us that we are not alone in our times of grief and pain. Comfort us with your spirit, the way it shows up in human hands and voices. Remind us that we are not alone in times of joy and wonder. Inspire us to honor and share the beauty we find in this world. Let our hearts beat in diverse and harmonious rhythms as we join in the everlasting dance of love. Source of stars and planets and water and land, open our hearts to all of our neighbors. Open our souls to a renewal of faith. Open our hands to join together in the work ahead. So be it. Blessed be. Amen.
may be aware, our government is shut down. There have already been so many impacts. As of next Saturday, it will get even worse. Funding will run out for SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and 40 million of our neighbors will be impacted, including people in Natick, including people in this congregation. I'm grateful for the work of local programs, including A Place to Turn, Natick Service Council, and Daniel's Table, as well as the Common Good Mini Pantry. So here's an invite from the outreach team. If anyone has interest and capacity for organizing support in the face of this crisis, see me or outreach coordinator Lane. Lane, just raise your hand. But also know that it is because of your generosity that FCC Natick has been and will continue to be supporters of these critical programs in our community, no matter what our government is doing or not doing. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we do so with a prayer for justice and compassion in our country. God of abundance, bless these gifts and the people they might help feed. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 378. God, we thank you for our people.
Thank you.
Amen. So you don't have to be seated, because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the benediction, and then as the postlude plays, those of you who would like to participate in the laying on of hands are invited to come forward and gather around Pam. Does that make sense? So if you're going to, Bob, just wait a minute, Bob. Bob is like ready to go. I like the energy, Bob. So benediction, then while the postlude plays, you can come forward and put your hands on Pam. Does that work for you? Okay, fantastic. All right. Beloved, as we go on our way, may God go with us. May God go before us to show us the way. May God go behind us to encourage us. May God go beside us to befriend us. May God go above us to watch over us. May God go beneath us to ground each step. May God be within us to give us peace. Amen.